Okay, I have about a 10-minute shocking message. And after I'm done, then Pastor Mark will come up and minister to us and heal us from what I'm going to say. Maybe. It's good, though. It's good. It's biblical. But I need you to follow this with me. And I usually don't say this, but tonight I just feel like doing it. So Ecclesiastes 8 in verse 11. Good to have Eric Gatch here in the house. Eric's in the house. Oh, yeah. Great. Good to have you. And everybody else. Okay, so Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. All right, can you follow that there? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. So people get away with it. They get away with it. Nobody says anything. They get away with it. And then it just feeds them. They might do more and more evil. So that's the idea. Do you see that? Do you want to read it again? All right, because I didn't do my homework. Then I didn't do my homework. I didn't do my homework. And I didn't do my homework. And I'll never do my homework. And that's how it goes. But that's not an evil work. Maybe it is in some households, but that's not what I mean. Let's look at a couple. Turn with me to Matthew 18, verse 15. This is how the church works. By the way, I would like there to be muscle in our church where God corrects us and helps us. And if something's wrong, will we say it? If something's not right, will it be said? With love, but with truth, right? I want to go to a church like that. What do you think? It's your call. But I want that. That's pretty good when the Lord helps us. So look at Matthew 18. I know you're all wondering, what am I going to say? So that's good. Verse 15. Moreover, if your brother trespasses against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he will hear you, you've gained your brother. I have no respect for any man that would steal another man's wife. If a man would steal another man's wife, I go really angry inside in my heart. You're destroying a life. You're destroying a family. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? What are you on, some escapade, on some crusade? Are you egotistical? Are you selfish? Are you an evil man? Adultery is an evil thing. No way. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. We are against it. That cannot happen. Do you see that? Okay, so you go to your brother alone and you get it straightened out. But if he's not going to hear you, what's the next part? Verse 16. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. That's divine order, isn't it? It's order. Let's go. We're going to talk about it. Come on, we better get this straightened out. This cannot happen. But if he doesn't hear you, then you take a couple people and you go talk, and come on, this cannot happen. This cannot happen. Do you understand that? That cannot happen. That is not of God. That is an evil work. And if everybody's doing it and everybody just lets it go and whatever it goes in our culture and our society and nobody says or does anything about it, then that's wrong. That's not God. I'll show that to you in a second. Go to the next verse, verse 17. And if he will neglect to hear them, tell it to the whole church. I will tell it to the whole church. I will give the name. I will tell the whole church. I will tell the whole church. That's what it says. And treat him like an unbeliever. He is not not a believer. And treat that person as not a believer. I don't care if he sat in our church, that he's been here. I don't care if he's been in our Bible school. I don't think he has. But I don't care about that. He cannot hear because he's living in evil and in sin, and we have an opinion about it and we say it. That's the way it goes. That's what it says here. Tell it to the whole church. Look at verse 17. And if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. That day is coming, maybe. That day is coming. Now, where is this in the Bible? Turn to Mark 6. And this happened, as you know, with Herod, verse 17. Herod himself had sent forth, laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John, verse 18, had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. John the Baptist, what are you doing? Like, be quiet. You're going to get in trouble. Yeah, am I going to get in trouble? Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble. Is that a problem? It isn't a problem. It isn't a problem. If it's God, if God is with you in the truth, that's a blessing. That's a blessing of God. That God, if God is with you and God has a messenger and God has a prophet, and by the way, woe unto you when men speak well of you, for so did they, the false prophets. I don't want to be arrogant about it. I don't want to sound arrogant. I don't believe I am arrogant. I'm just saying the truth. And that is, there are things that are wrong and we can say they are wrong. There are things that are evil, and we can say that they are evil. And that's part of our Christian life. And if you can't take the heat, then, you know, God will help you. God will help and teach us, and none of us are. I mean, if you were to talk to John the Baptist, I mean, the Spirit of God used him to rebuke a king. And he didn't back off. He rebuked a king. And in those days, you're done. And he was beheaded. Listen, he was beheaded for the word of God. He was beheaded because he told the truth. He was in trouble because of the truth. He was a minister of God in an evil age with an evil king. And actually, the king liked him. It was the woman, Herodias, who didn't like him. And first chance she could get to get rid of him, she got rid of him. But she got rid of him because of the word of God. Okay, so we're almost done here. Chapter 6, verse 18. John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, that was the woman, and would have killed him, but she couldn't. She would have killed him. She was so angry about it. She was so angry about this guy. She's going to take him out. but she couldn't. And her daughter dances, and she's got the whole world on a plate. You know, what do you want? And so she runs to her mother. I want the head of John the Baptist. So he's done. But he goes to heaven. He decreased. Jesus increased. And now it's Jesus in this world. And now it's us in this world. Now, I'm not picking a fight. I'm just saying, I'm telling everybody publicly, that's the way it goes in our church. That's the way it is. And if anybody, let's say somebody's dishonest in business, then they are to be confronted with love and brothers and sisters, and in humility agree with the brothers. Agree that, and let me clean up my house and get things straightened out, and please, I beg for mercy. And we are totally with you, and we will help you. We will help you, but we cannot sit back and accept dishonesty. That cannot happen. And we cannot accept fornication, and we cannot accept adultery, and we cannot accept lying and deceitfulness. We cannot accept that as a way of life because we love people and we love families. And look at the blessing that we've got and the power of God and the blessing of God in our work, in our ministry. And God will open doors and send people. God will save souls and turn sinful people into saints and make us something beautiful, something great. Like one last thing. Shimei, David is at a low point. His son is conducting a coup d'etat, taking over. His son Absalom wants to kill his father. And David's at a low point. And Shimei comes to the house of Saul, cursing him and throwing stones and dust. And Zeruiah, the mighty man, I think it was Joab, said, let me go over and I'll take his head off. No, he said, let him curse me. Let him curse me. Maybe God will bless me if he curses me. Maybe God will bless me. That's how spiritual people are like people that understand life differently from the natural man. The natural man said, I'll go and take his head off. No, we got time. Let it go. Let's see what God will do. No, we got time. God is with us. If God is with us, that is such an honor. And I feel that he is. And what we are doing and who we are is very important to God. And everybody, and by the way, we're not perfect, but if we could say, Lord, I have sinned. Please help me, correct me, and fill me with your spirit, then we are 1,000%. But we cannot accept arrogance, pride, resistance, weird spirits. We cannot accept Herod's debauchery. We cannot accept the arrogance of the human race, the way we are as people left to ourselves. We must be humble before God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God will lift you up. He will restore you and heal you. Let me repeat it. I have no respect for a man that steals a man's wife. I have no respect for a woman that is going off with some man and they go then going off in her heart and in her mind and not being corrected by God and humbled before God. You are to have one man, one woman in your life. And if you have temptations and problems, then fine, get some help. And God will give you grace and God will help you. But this other way of life is not our way. It is not our way. It is not from God. Amen. All right, so Pastor Mark is going to come up.
Thank you. Oh, that was beautiful. Amen. Psalm 27, please. Psalm 27 is one of those psalms that I really love. It's just one that's remained with me. I remember learning it when I was around 24, 25, living in France, sneaking in the Perrier water when I wasn't supposed to with some friends. Apparently it's fenced off now, so it's no longer possible. I apologize. But this is a beautiful psalm. Lord, thank you for these words. You are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Guide us with your thoughts. Guide us with your mind. Guide us in the fear of the Lord, which is clean, enduring forever. Guide us by your Spirit. Uphold us by your free Spirit. And thank you for your gracious words that you speak to us over and over again. Encourage us with these thoughts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Just some words that I hope will encourage out of this psalm. In verse 5, for in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle he will hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. The day or the time of trouble. Psalm 86, 7 talks about the day of our trouble. In the day of my trouble I will call upon you. And Jesus said in John 16, 33, these things I have spoken to you that you might have peace. In the world you will have trouble or tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What is that overcoming? It's the power of resurrection, isn't it? That's where soul and spirit are separated and where we truly find the power of God. Power against temptation, power against apathy, power against our own stubbornness. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He will hide me in his pavilion. Colossians 3:3, you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He will hide me. I love that bridge in that Lauren Daigle song where she says something like, you're my, what is it? You're my something, my hideaway, my shelter. It's like this whole list of like, of ways in which God is our refuge. He's our hideaway. We hide in him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower in Psalm 18. The righteous run into it and they are safe. That's where we hide. It's the secret place of the Most High. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. The secret of his tabernacle. If we think of the tabernacle back in the Old Testament, we think of that beautiful Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. There were two cherubim statues that were facing each other. And the Lord said to the high, he said to Moses regarding the high priests from then on, there I will commune with you. And there I will meet with you and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the Ark of the Testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. And this is communion. This is the richness and the depth of abundant fellowship. We commune face to face with the living God in that hiding place. We're not just hiding and sublimating, but we're hiding in rich, deep communion fellowship. Despite the infirmity of our flesh and our fatigue and our shortcomings. But nonetheless, that's all there, whatever. But we're fellowshipping with the living God. Have you ever noticed that the most exalted times in your life come when you're not in very good shape? It's just a weird time of day. There's a million things happening. Three people are expecting you to be in three different places. You feel a little sick. You didn't get enough sleep the night before. The dishes aren't done. The dog's out of his mind. And somehow, maybe because we're so at the end of ourselves, there's this like enlightening, there's like this moment of revelation and we find God. At least that's often how it happens to me. So much more in those places or in those moments where I'm kind of expecting to find him. Often the secret place of the Most High is in a very mundane and in a very common place. And we find the living God. We're face to face with him. Verse 6, Psalm 27. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. We know in Ephesians 6 that our enemies are not flesh and blood. They're not flesh and blood. What are our enemies? It's the world system, the dazzling world system. And we know that those promises are very, very empty. Often it's like candy. M&Ms are awesome, but they only go so far. Reese's Pieces might be a little better. But they only go so far. Yeah, the dazzling world system. It's all a lie, a sugar-coated lie. The flesh, it could be the sensual pleasures that tempt us, but it goes beyond that. Pride, family pride, family heritage, a name, our culture, stubbornness, that's the flesh. I know someone in another country whose well is broken and their water is brown, and they don't want to have any new water connection because their dad made the well, and that's just the way it is. Like a stubborn cultural family connection, which ends up creating a very, very difficult quality of life. That could be the flesh just as much as some sensual pleasure. And the devil and Satan, his demons, his minions, their suggestions, their projections, all the imaginations, all the games he plays with our minds. But here, verse 6 says, now my head will be lifted up above my enemies all around me. That's hard when the horde is assaulting us to have our head lifted up above them, especially if we're short. What do we do? Like Zacchaeus, we could climb a tree. If we live in a place with not too many trees, how are we going to get up higher? That's when the Lord brings us to that rock that is higher than we are. It's the rock where we cannot go in our natural, but the Lord picks us up. He puts us there, and he brings us once again to that place of communion. In the second part of verse 6, therefore, despite the hoard, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Can I sing? Can I sing with Baltimore burning at my feet? Could Jesus sing with all of Jerusalem, moment by moment and day by day, becoming colder and darker towards him, and of course in his deity, knowing what was coming? Did he have those moments of lightness? He surely did, because he knew where his refuge was. He knew how to retreat. He knew how to make that his priority, to spend that night in prayer. Despite how he was feeling and despite the schedule, he found his pleasure in Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Because you've loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore your God has given you the oil of gladness above your fellows. And God could say that to us on the job. He's given you the oil of gladness above your colleagues at work. He's given you the oil of gladness above your whiny relatives. He's given you the oil of gladness above your neighborhood, the bus you take to work, everyone complaining. He's given you the oil of gladness. Why is it the oil of gladness? Oil, it's like, what is oil? It's isn't it fat, really? Tastes good. Olive oil, it's like nutrition, it's sustenance, it's abundance. Back in the Middle East, this was life. This is how you survived. To have some oil meant this is going to be a rich meal. This is going to allow me to go for some days. It's going to be power for my life. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. We cry out to God. We cry out to God, and we can say boldly that he hears us and that he has heard us. Verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. These images from Psalm 22 come to mind when I read these verses. Jesus Christ on the cross, who senses this breach in communication and communion between him as the Son and his Father. But somehow he trusted, he remained. And we have those moments where we don't sense the good hand of God, but we know and have known the good hand of God. And that becomes part of our confession, part of like the song that our worship team just sang. It's the word of our testimony. And this is how we go on. Isn't it a blessing when we haven't seen a fellow believer for many years and then we run into them and we see that they've continued on in the faith? I got to go to France over the past, I was there for 12 days. I saw so many old friends, children of old friends, just people that I've known, some since the 80s, and they're still walking with Christ. The communion is the same. We've been drinking from the same Spirit. And I know they've gone through deserts had physical ailments and family situations and all kinds of crazy things going on in their lives. But they've continued despite everything. They've continued. And it's beautiful. It's a testimony. Thank God. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, even our closest relations, then the Lord will take care of me. He cares, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. He has brought me also to an open place, a place of victory, a smooth place. He delivered me, Psalm 18, because he delighted in me. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. And those are the times when we walk in our integrity. Even that is questioned, but we walk in our integrity because we are living for an audience of one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one before whom we will appear, each one of us, at one point, provided we have been born again. And our works, or maybe better said, our faith decisions will be evaluated, and there we will see the gold, the silver, the precious stones. What will survive the fire of his holiness? What will survive the fire of his holiness? Verse 13, I would have lost heart. I would have fainted, the King James says, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We can be walking among what seems like the dead, but if we belong to Jesus Christ, in one sense, and in a truer sense, it really is the land of the living. Where there is fellowship, we are in the land of the living, because we find ourselves quickened, revived. We're given life once again. I think Pastor Schaller mentioned it this morning in service. My soul cleaves to the dust. Quicken me according to your word. And then the last verse, verse 14, wait on the Lord, or hope in the Lord. And this can be the hardest part of all. We don't like silence. It gets really awkward. Wait on the Lord. A pause. A moment to draw near to God in the stillness of our heart. Even if we're in a frenzy, we wait on the Lord. And he says, be of good courage. Where does the courage come from? Not from us. We're naturally very, very wimpy. We're out of here. Every man for himself. Hurry, quick. The sky is falling. Be of good courage. The courage comes from God. And that's why it's so beautiful when Paul says that, I think it's the beginning of 1 Corinthians 2, I was among you with weakness and fear and much trembling. The Apostle Paul, I was among you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Isn't that beautiful? But we know what he did. We know the missionary trips he went on. He overcame the natural reaction and did the will of God. And it was attributed to him as courage, because the courage was actually faith in the living God. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Lord, we know that you have been and you continually are our strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord, we fear all the time. We fear so many things, so many legitimate things and so many things that are not legitimate. Teach us to believe you. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to discard the natural, to grasp the supernatural, to lay hold on eternal life. because you are our God. We trust and believe that you are for us. Help us to lean into you, to trust you as never before, to find peace in the midst of the storm, to have a song of joy in our heart despite any type of assault, to dance when there is war, and to find our delight in the rich communion with you, the living God. Thank you, Lord, that you're not a respecter of persons, and you offer this eternal life to whoever's available. We bless you, we praise you, we thank you. If anyone here doesn't know Jesus Christ, if you're not 100% certain that you will go to heaven after you die, I invite you to pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I know that I could never attain heaven by my own merit, so I put my trust in your sacrifice on the cross on my behalf. Cleanse me, save me, give me eternal life. If you have said that prayer, I invite you to put up your hand quickly. One of our ushers will give you some literature to encourage you in this step of faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.